Welcome back to the Espresso Boys podcast, a podcast about nothing where we talk about everything. I am your cute boy, Espresso Boy, Caleb Tegler, and I'm your bad boy, Espresso Boy, Brandon Thomas, Stoll-Holly. Don't forget to check us out over on patreon.com/TheExpressoBoys. We got a bunch of tiers there you can donate at and get special perks, as well as our Instagram and Twitter at TheExpressoBoys. Now enjoy part two of our conversation with Jessup Flower.
I'm sure we have some listeners that have had creative ideas, that have had the thoughts. What are your inspiring words that you can give to them, to someone who has ever had the inkling? Let's just even go as, quote, small as a blog post. Like, what would be your, and they're just not doing it. They're not making it happen, or whatever might be the case. They don't think it's worth reading. That kind of, what would you give? What kind of advice would you give to that kind of person?
I think what I'll say is this, is I think a lot of people may be in that role where maybe they even did write it, you know, or they actually got a chance to get something together, but they've only seen it to themselves, shown it mm-hmm. to themselves, or they're an audience of one, basically. You just have to get at least one other person or a second person to try to widen that circle of influence a little bit and let someone else read it. And that is the scariest thing,
right?
For sure. Because then what you do is you go, I'm now open to somebody saying, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's the fear, right?
Is for sure.
Somebody saying, it's not good. And that's the fear that every writer has, is it going to be good?
Yeah.
So widen that, and you have to overcome that fear to just say, well, any note that comes back to me is going to make me a better writer.
Constructive, right?
Well, hopefully.
Even if somebody
just does not give you constructive criticism and says, it sucks, and that's all they say, you hopefully you can take that in and say, okay, well, I'm going to make something that doesn't suck.
Good.
And just try something else.
That's great.
So, but mostly if you give it to somebody that's at least trustworthy, and maybe you can qualify it. Hey, you don't need to pick this apart, but just tell me if it makes sense.
Great.
Just tell me if the story vibes, whatever it is, and look for what you want to get back. Then that will encourage you and...
Yeah, well, okay, so speaking even to that personally, I showed you the thing that I had on that I shared or whatever.
War story.
Yeah. So I have this idea, Caleb. I don't think I've told you about it, because it's not something I am like deeply vested in. But I have this concept in my head of like writing these little, I don't even know what you call them, just these little short little few paragraph type short stories.
Almost like
of,
prompts.
Yeah. Of just this idea. They're like the title of these prompts would be cliffhangers, mm-hmm. and it is only details of a scenario behind an individual. So like the first one that I wrote was basically about this guy that the first opening scene is him confused as to where he's at or how he's landed in this situation, and you kind of put together these pieces of him in this like this cockpit mm-hmm. of a fighter jet, and it has these like flashback moments that take place, and at the end of it there's this big explosion that takes place. But it's more so, it's not the idea of it is not to emphasize a like a long deep story, but just more so to draw a really vivid picture and leave you with a cliffhanger of like at the end of it. I can't remember exactly how it ended, but the idea of it was I think it was like this just really big explosion, and he looked back, or like someone knocked him over the head or something like that. But the idea is just cliffhanger. But my idea of it was, I want to paint a really vivid picture of what I'm thinking and imagining taking place on this scene mm-hmm. and calling it a cliffhanger amongst many other collections. So anyways, I sent this to Jess, and he gave me some really great advice on it. And it wasn't like, I imagine maybe if I was, the advice he gave me was brilliant in the sense of like, okay, adjust this, like you're make it clear that, or like whenever you have a flashback, make it so that it's I can't remember the exact details of it, but it's like you basically were explaining that when you're having a flashback, like make it
use your tenses
exactly tenses, yeah,
so, mixed up.
That's right, like so adjust those types of things. So again, speaking to that, find this to the listener. Find if you have something creative like that, send it to someone who you can trust to give you actual constructive feedback, and you know, make those adjustments.
Going back to this, when you guys first released your first episode, mm-hmm. did you just go for it and just put it on the thing and say, everybody have at it? Or yeah. did you have a couple of people listen to it first?
No, honestly, I think we actually did say everyone have at it. But I will say this, the negative to that is we had the high highs of the first episode. Yeah. Like, it's funny, we can joke about it for sure. And it's like, great, that was amazing. High highs, and then everyone after the next step, boom, drop down to that's our steady number.
And I'm sure you get comments and suggestions.
Oh, dude, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And those are coming from people that we trust and love, and that like we're able to like, oh, great. Can you help us with that? Like, yes, we can.
Or you might say, well, the majority say that this is really annoying when we do this.
For sure.
But we have like one troll that's like, I hate Cameron. I hate when Cameron was a guest.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you're not going to never have Cameron back.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever.
Oh, no, we won't. We will never.
I mean, that one person spoke loudly enough. No. Yeah, so that's great. I think I love that. That's great advice.
So transitioning into the next topic.
Yes.
On Tuesday.
Yes.
Which is what, like 5 days, something like that?
Yes.
I will be going to San Francisco and doing...
Oh, wait, what time?
I think 7 is doing my first stand-up set.
Wait, can you tell me where?
Yeah. You don't even I'll tell you where later.
I will be there because I'm actually going to be working... I'll be staying at Tim and Ria. I'll stay up at Tim Robbins Monday and Tuesday night. Okay. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And when you got here, you told us that you recently did your first set.
Yep.
And so I'll hear all of
that. Justin Ross. And shout out to Justin Ross.
Friend of the podcast.
I think he's a sponsor as well.
He is.
He and I basically challenged each other. It's something that was in his thing forever. He goes, I want to do this. Yeah. Right. It was like a challenge that he had. And we always challenge him. Do it. And he would kind of, okay, back to the creativity thing. He'd always like, yeah, I will.
Right.
So we had a conversation one day and I said, here's the deal. I go, we're both going to do it. And I go, we're going to set a date and we're going to do it. And we're going to go together and we're going to both have our first open mic on the same time, 5 minutes, whatever it is. And so then what we did is we actually recorded the entire time of us getting together and talking through material.
That's cool.
We're probably going to release it as a podcast, like a limited series podcast. He'll make all the decisions for that. But we recorded all the stuff going up to it. So if you listen to it, you will hear us going through bits that we use on stage. And we go through and we develop it and talk and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we recorded our open mic night. And then talked about it afterwards and stuff like that.
It's amazing.
So it was an amazing experience because that is the one thing that I was terrified about.
Oh
yeah, I'm terrified.
Yeah, I mean, talk about going back to the little bit of advice you gave of just giving your being vulnerable enough to give your stories to someone. Yeah.
To one person make who you're it, close to.
Right.
Getting to a place where you have to make people laugh.
Right. And we decided, we went to a place we didn't let any of our family and friends actually go there. So I'm all props to you for doing that because we're like, number one, I'm like, I'm going to be embarrassed because I didn't think I was going to do well. And I didn't really do well. But anyway, I said, we also want to just see an entirely group of strangers that has no idea who we are.
Okay.
Can we make them laugh? We don't necessarily want laughs based on. You
don't want charity. No patronizing.
Charity. So it was.
How was that going into it? Did that make it easier for you? Like mentally going into a place where you knew that there was like by the chance of someone knowing you were slim to none. Did that make it easier? Did that kind of stress you out a little bit more?
You'll have to get Justin's take on his side of things because I'm just going to say it. He did well.
Nice.
He did well. I did not do well.
Okay.
And I was terrified. And I public speak.
Yeah,
like
for
I
sure.
do public speaking and I'm in front of crowds a lot and I teach public speaking. And so I don't have any problem getting in front of people.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely terrified.
Dude, I can't. I honest to God, I'm the same boat. I public speak. I can do it. That's no problem at all.
Yeah.
If I get a script in front of me type of thing like that I've worked on and I got like easy, no problem. No way in hell will I ever do stand-up comedy. Like
I'm very impressed, Caleb.
Here's my goal, because I've listened to a bunch of people talk about like their first time doing stand-up and they're always like, I got no laughs, nothing. My goal is one laugh. That's what I want.
Let me ask you this.
And not one guy in the back is like, I mean, like, I want like one big audience laugh.
Okay, yeah. That's good. That's gonna be a good question. Like, what kind of laugh are you looking for? Are you looking for like a couple scattered, just, you know, a couple scattered, or are you looking for like a genuine? That's the one.
Yeah,
I don't want to. Okay, let's be honest. You're no one. You don't want anyone. Realistically, if you wanted people from the podcast to hear what you're gonna share, you would say it, right? Or like you would, or sorry, excuse me, yeah, let me rephrase. If you wanted anyone from the who's gonna listen to this podcast to be there, you would share the location.
Yeah, I don't want anyone.
Great. So what, like, you without? I'm not gonna do you wrong, but give us the general idea of what that big laugh. Do you have that big laugh moment already teed up?
See, I have a few things written that I've been working on,
okay,
and I'm not sure which one I'm using yet.
How many minutes would you say you have?
Probably, so I have like two things written, and they're both probably like 2.5-3 minutes.
So it's like two long form stories?
Yeah.
Okay. So
tips and tricks.
I don't think they're stories actually. Okay. Yeah.
I did two long form bits that I thought I kind of had jokes peppered in.
Yeah.
And I got polite laughs.
Okay, let me ask you this. So I'm not going to put you on the spot because I don't want you to start going
do
through
your whole
bit.
Thing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want you to have to do that.
Doing out there tonight?
And I'll have to give you a polite laugh. I'm not interested in that, but I am interested in, like, now break this down through a public speaking type of way. What were the, when you were writing that stuff out, were you writing it out and realizing now that those were stuff that you would, that people who knew you would get, like that, those little laughs?
Maybe. And I don't know how to explain it. That was what was funny to me.
Okay.
And I mean, I did a whole thing where I basically anthropomorphized Ranch.
And for those who don't understand anthropomorphized Ranch, what does that mean?
Just for the listeners. Ranch became like a person.
Characteristics.
I'm sorry, ketchup. Because the whole thing is ketchup. And I said ketchup was basically underrated. And I likened ketchup to like a blue collar worker.
Okay.
And so I told this whole story how he comes home to his wife and he married fancy ketchup. And they're talking about all this stuff. And he goes, you know what's going on is there's this new guy at the office that's taken over everything. Uh-huh. And it's Ranch. That's what I wanted.
I'm into this.
That's what I wanted. I like it. I wanted that reaction right there. And so I start talking about it and going through. And I'm getting nothing. Like I'm getting... And I'm like, so I'm acting it up and I'm pushing. And I'm like, I'm talking about all the accounts that he's lost. I'm like, you know, oh, honey, I lost the French fry account. And, you know, she's like, what? Yeah. How could you lose the French fry account? It's like this Ranch, you know, they're demanding French fries with Ranch. They're forgetting about me. And I'm spending all my time in a glass bottle in a forgotten diner. And I'm just going for it. And I'm just kind of getting them. I mean, they're wrapped with attention.
Yeah.
They're interested in the story. No joke. Like, they're not like, oh, this is lame. But they were not.
They're waiting for that big point.
They're waiting for the punchline.
Oh my.
And I just never really had a punchline.
Jeez.
So they just kind of like, I basically ended it and then I got an applause break, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not laughter. It's like, we appreciate you telling that story.
Oh my goodness, man. That is so
vulnerable.
That's
not like a fail though. You didn't fail.
What would you change?
I would totally do set up and punch. I would do set up and punch. That's what stand up is.
As opposed to like what you just did, where like that story.
Like tell a long story. Or I would write jokes that were jokey jokes in the middle of that. So when I would have to come up with stuff that Ketchup said that was a ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum, you know.
Oh, okay.
I've been listening to this podcast called The History of Stand Up. It's amazing if you haven't listened at all.
The British guy?
No, it's a new one. There's only like 5 or 6 episodes out. And they talked about, and I didn't really know the different genres of stand-up comedy, but they talked about something called alt comedy, which is more like when comedy clubs were kind of booming and there were people, like that was the new big thing.
Yeah.
These like alt clubs would pop up.
Right.
And that was where like you kind of could get a little bit weirder stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm almost afraid that's what I am.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When you do your first one, like I'm a huge fan of comedy as well. So hopefully you do it again, you know, and I want to see another one because Yeah. I'm just really interested that you're doing this. I think it's pretty cool.
Do you have any
advice?
Any advice?
No.
Okay. No. We won't even go there because I imagine I picture stand-up comedy, dude. I have a lot. I'm very excited. Let me just start off by saying this. I'm so excited,
literally.
Very excited that I'm able to see this. And not for, like, I genuinely think, and if you hear me laugh in the audience, it's going to be because I know you personally. Yeah. And I love that you just said that you have that particular brand of comedy, because I know that to be true. That it's like, if you listen to a lot of the podcast episodes, you bring the comedy in. I'll fill in some of the gaps, but you actually like, you can find these little comedian.
Your nipple bit was classic.
Which, what was the, oh, the tattoo nipple bit. Yeah, I know the tattoo.
Wait, what was that one?
What he was talking about, here's the premise. I'm repeating it for somebody that probably just blitzed this or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's talking about his tattoo. He's talking to his mom.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, this is the funny part. You go, it's the size of a nipple. Now, that's the laugh, but then you go, it's the size of my nipple.
See, that's the thing. That's not, because that's not something you can just, that's not something an average person thinks of.
Let me explain my thought process behind that. Is I said nipple, and then I realized there's all sort of size of nipple. And so I wanted to be more specific.
That's, I swear, that is the mind of a comedian, which is why I'm excited to see it, because I don't think.
Because our minds instantly went like that. We followed the same track.
Yeah.
Like, what's he talking about? And then my nipple, and it's like, oh my gosh. There's, it was so funny.
For anyone who's seen me shirtless.
Yeah, like.
You know the size of my tattoo.
So I'm excited to see what you can do, because you have those, you have that, like, so sidetrack here. We do this thing at my new job where we meet at, it's called 10 minutes at 10 o'clock, where we take this time to encourage all the employees.
Oh, you do work for Google, right?
I don't work for Google. No. Okay, dude, I don't work for
Google.
Listen, I don't work for Google, okay? So anyways, 10 at 10s, where it's this awkward moment where 20 people gather around and we have to encourage one another.
Oh, great.
And so what I'm going to tell you is not a 10 at 10. It's just a friend to friend.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to call it.
Do you have a theme song for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll write it after.
It's like kind of the PSA, the more you know. Yeah. So I think honestly, you hit the nail on the head where I think some people won't get your humor. Yeah. But boy, oh boy, you're going to get the biggest belly laughs from me in the background.
I think
you're going to kill it. But I think there's going to be a couple people where it's like,
you won't get like crickets.
It. Yeah, okay.
No way.
When I first started watching The Office, it took me Cameron and Christian Behrens watching it with me, hearing them laugh at points. Because I'm like, oh, that's the joke. Okay, I get it now. Yeah. So maybe, listen, I'm there. I'm going to be there for you to just get those. I'm going to be the Christian and Cameron to the Brandons in the room where I'm like, that was the joke. That was hilarious, because
it's legit a open mic night.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
So what's great about that is you will have people that will be terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that you're just like, there is no reason for you to be up there at all.
I just don't want to be the worst.
You're not going to be. There's no chance.
You will not be the worst.
There's going to be
a guy at ours that was an Asian gentleman. Okay. That brought up a guitar.
Good. Always a good start.
Yeah, that's the worst idea you can do.
Played a song, and I'm not joking, all he did was just sing just dirty lyrics.
Oh.
Like just really filthy, foul lyrics.
Good.
And he got laughs because people were just
very uncomfortable.
Yeah. About what he was doing.
No way, dude.
In no way be worse than that.
Okay, good. That's encouraging.
Yeah, no, you're going
to
be great. Get yourself one of those guys up there.
That's like a bar.
Yeah.
You're going to come over that bar.
Get yourself one of those guys up there. You're going to be just fine.
Yeah,
you're going
to
be just fine.
I need to hire someone to go right before me who's terrible.
Just the worst.
I think it'll be good.
Okay, so Jess, who do you have? No, we're all involved in the church here. When you're in a public speaking platform, you listen to all these different kinds of preachers and their communicating styles, you kind of take up on some of those. So for stand-up comedy, I imagine that principle kind of is the same, in that you pick up on some of those mannerisms or just those types of, I don't know, I guess deliveries or something that. Do you have anyone, and this isn't necessarily a negative thing, but do you have anyone that you kind of like look towards when you do it, or you just... You just go and for your own thing.
With comedy, it's the same with comedy. Like, as you listen to comedy, you start realizing, oh my gosh, I'm just doing Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay, or, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and the thing is when you listen to those, you obviously are fans of comedy podcasts mm-hmm. as well. They say the exact same
the
thing.
The second you say, I mean, what's the deal with? You're like, right, I've crossed the line. I've crossed the line.
They're on to me.
But they will say the same thing. Like, they say, when I first started, I was Robert Klein.
Yeah.
Or when I first started, I was, you know, whatever, you know, pick a, you know, Buddy Hackett. They just, you emulate who you like and then you develop your own style. So.
Okay. Yeah.
One like last that. Question for this, then we'll do the final Broadway thing. Favorite stand-up comedians?
Man, that is tough. I love, and I know he's very popular, but I love Jim Gaffigan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so very funny. Good.
And I think that he's clever and I think that he's really funny. I say that right off the bat because he's, I don't know, he just is really funny. And I don't like, though, that he went away from the inside voice thing.
No, I love the inside voice.
Well, he went away from it, though.
Did he like sneak away? He
doesn't do it anymore.
That's too bad. Honestly, like, that was the, I think what he was really brilliant with was attaching that inside voice to the reality of, like, or when you say inside voice, are you talking about him
when
being,
he does the audience voice.
Okay, yeah. Like,
oh, that guy's really pale.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff like
yeah.
That
I think that was kind of a great branding moment for him because that was.
I think that's what like sold him and really started to get him doing his thing.
There is the one. I mean, if we can break it down to the first stand-up that I can remember him doing, and the first joke that I can actually remember was he's like, I'm married to an Asian woman. She's very Asian. She's a panda.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, and then,
beyond the pale.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, beyond the pale, man. And that was like the, and then I think shortly after that, he just began to go into the inside voice, right? So it's like, I'm disappointed to hear that he walked away from
he
such a.
He kind of walked away from that. And then two others, quick follow up. Jerry Seinfeld mm-hmm. always has a special place in my heart. Yeah. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan, all that kind of stuff. And then this is more modern. Neil Brennan.
Oh, he's yeah.
So if you have
guys
not
can
seen
geek out
three
on that
mic special, mm-hmm. it's genius.
Yeah,
his three mic special. I think it's still on Netflix.
I think so.
You got to check it out, Neil. He is so
he's the
funny.
Co-creator of the Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay.
But he does a thing where he does three mics, and he does one mic is one-liners.
Oh my!
One mic is
dang.
Like emotional, like heavy emotional stuff. And then one mic is just legit stand-up. And he bounces back and forth between the mics and doesn't tell you, no, I'm going to do this. He just lights come up and he just does it. And it's great.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Have you seen, I would be surprised. Do you know who Bo Burnham is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So have you seen, I say I'd be surprised because it's so niche, but.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Have you seen the one where he did,
the Kanye rant?
The Kanye rant. Have you seen that?
I believe so. I've seen all his specials that were on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the second, the last part of the second one.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you because watching that, I think. Edit right to this point. Okay. We're going to have content because this is just, I'm enjoying the conversation at this point. And I hope you don't mind that we may go OT here.
I'm fine.
And this would be a good opportunity for Patreon to have a little extra overtime stuff. So
that's good.
If you watch the Bo Burnham Kanye rant, I think that there's what's interesting with stand-ups, like really successful stand-up comedians. Well, not even necessarily like really successful. I think, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is one of the OGs as far as that stuff goes, right? But watching people like Bo Burnham, he has a really interesting take on it because if you watch the Kanye rant, there's so much vulnerability to it. So like if you haven't seen that one, I'll send it to you after this and you can watch it. But it's like there's like so much vulnerability to it. And I think it's kind of like the pinnacle of stand-up comedy because there's one line where he's like, I can't even explain.
He kind of talks about how his biggest fear is like the audience, but he also realizes how he can't do what he does without an audience.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he hides all that.
Catch 22.
Yeah. He hides all that behind like stupid Chipotle jokes and like really basic
and
jokes.
And just the huge production.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, they say the whole honest thing is that comedy is tragedy plus time.
Oh man.
And so it's really interesting to see some of these guys writing and performing out of pain.
Yeah.
So it's like, It's such a weird, like,
the Neil Brennan thing you will really like, because it's a lot of that.
I believe it, man, because that's such, I think there was even someone that was this was like a couple years ago, I don't remember the exact topic they were talking about, but they were mentioning how, like, as soon as you hear a stand-up comedian make a joke about something that is sort of political or whatever, that's when it starts to lose the serious steam and become more of just a conversation as opposed to like black and white, yes or no.
Right.
I think there's so much, again, this sounds way more philosophical and intense than it should, but I think there's so much power behind comedians being able to do what they do, because maybe it's just
breaks down walls.
Literally, that's what it is. Like, it's just the fact that you're able to make someone laugh about something they took so seriously to where that breaks that wall, like you just said, where it breaks that wall to where they're able to actually have an open conversation with it. It's really interesting.
Let's do our last thing, which is 3 minutes on Broadway.
Samantha gave me all three.
Danny.
Excuse me, Danny. We have Danny. Wrote up
Brendan's wife, Danny.
Brendan. So maybe you're familiar, Express Boy listeners, of 2 minutes, 3 minutes on Broadway.
3 minutes on Broadway.
3 minutes on Broadway. I'm gonna begin to explain it. Caleb is gonna finish it because I'm not gonna do a good job of it. But essentially, what we've done is we've created a person, place, and conflict on 3 minutes on Broadway. And what we do in this 3 minutes is we give this person a name. We give this place a place, and we give this conflict a conflict.
It's pretty much what we do.
Love it.
Pretty much what we do is Danny wrote down a person, a place, and a conflict, and we have 3 minutes to expand on that as much as possible and turn it into a Broadway show, probably musical.
It doesn't necessarily have to be musical. Our thought in this is that music, it's going to be such a beautiful story that they're going to want to make it a musical. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, if it turns into a musical mid conversation, great. We've kind of given them the easy way out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But our thought is we're
handling
spoon
the meat.
Feeding
right.
these Broadway executives these just beautiful stories. We're gonna do our best at that. So I have three on hand.
Okay.
Three.
He gave us three. Danny gave us three. And I'll be honest with you. The research is done. He did a good job. So I want Caleb and Jess here. I want you to get prepared for this. Okay? So
are we just doing one of them?
We'll start with one.
Okay.
We'll see what it feels like after that.
Maybe
after that.
If we have time for two other ones, the Patreon listeners can listen to additional content.
So person, Jimmy Joe, 18 years old. Jimmy Joe, 18 years old. The place that he's currently at, Budford, Wyoming. The least populated city in the United States of America. Okay? Mm. Budford, Wyoming. Jimmy Joe, 18 years old. Least populated city in the United States of America. Conflict, wins the lotto. $1 billion on his 18th birthday. Has always lived his life farming alone. Doesn't know what to do. Wait a minute. Danny, you gave us a doozy here. This is like, this isn't just all fun and games. This is serious, okay? So we have Jimmy Joe, who's 18 years old, from Budford, Wyoming, least populated city in the United States of America, and he just won the $1 billion lotto and only knows the life of farming, doesn't know what to do with this $1 billion. Let me paint a little even more of a backdrop for you. Let's just say hypothetically.
Should we start the 3 minutes?
No, yeah. I'm still painting the picture for you. I want to make sure that you're teed up well for this, okay? Because, listen, as the sponsors of the Expressive Boy podcast, the executives of Broadway, the Street Broadway in New York, that is a company. I want to make sure that we're painting a perfect picture for them. We're not leaving any strings
attached. Well, Dan's in. The maker of fine leotards is listening too.
Yeah, they that's exactly right. That's our number one. Yeah, that's our number one sponsor. Thank you for reminding us. That's so true. So I want to make sure that we're representing the best, one of the best. I want to make sure that we're representing them well. So I'm going to fill in some details here for you. So he wins the lottery. This is, Jimmy Joe, 18, young buck, just won $1 billion, mm-hmm. but only knows life before me. I mean, I can only imagine this saying. He went to the gas station to fill up some canteens of gas.
Just had a couple extra bucks.
Maybe the gas prices dropped a couple extra cents. You know what I mean? So he had a couple extra bucks, based on the farming allowance. And you know what? You know, I'm gonna just, why not? I hear so much about it from folks around town. I'm gonna pick up a ticket. I'm just gonna see how it goes.
Is it a scratch ticket?
No, it's not a scratch ticket. Okay. It's the one that it's just random numbers. Numbers, got it. And he's the winner. Chicken dinner. Okay. Jimmy Joe, 18 years old.
Well, are we starting?
Yeah.
Do you have?
No, we got to start, dude. We can't keep adding.
From the perspective of the writer, I don't know. I'm just saying. Brandon. Okay, all right. I'm going to set the timer.
Okay.
Hold on. The new iPhone is really good because this episode is brought to you by Apple.
Wow.
Yeah. High-end sponsors. So the timer begins...
Now,
go ahead.
All right, go ahead. Do you have anything?
The first musical number that has to, I know we shouldn't start with this, but it has to be The Government Takes Half. Just a big blowout number. You know, it's fun.
Great. Okay.
You know, Uncle Sam's the scene. Out,
you're painting
around.
That picture already. I love it.
It's kind of like coming in. It's like a dream sequence kind of thing, and they're coming in, and you know, they're dancing across, and The Government Takes Half.
So is Jimmy Joe like worried about what the government's going to do in this?
He's just like there. Like he's kind of around. He's looking at the ticket. He's experiencing it, but just whirls of dancers around him, you know, and ladies in red, white, and blue, and they're kicking high, and you know, and
powdered wigs,
everything, and just the Uncle Sam is on stilts, mm-hmm. and he's just coming in, and he's like the soloist, and he's singing.
He's very Jack Skellington, Uncle Sam.
Very Jack Skellington.
Yeah. Okay.
100%.
I thought a good conflict for this would be, what's the guy's name? Jimmy Joe.
18 years old.
He doesn't.
1 minute left.
He doesn't. Necessarily need this money, but everybody around him does.
Okay, so he's used
small
to a
towns,
simple living. He's
it's
used
a small
to simple
town.
Living.
Everybody knows everybody.
You don't get $1 billion without some attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's small city, I assume, or so people are coming from other cities.
Uh huh.
People he went to high school
there's
with.
There's a traveling person that comes through, right? He's kind of a down on his luck traveling salesman.
Oh.
He's coming through Birmingham, Buckingham.
Budford, Wyoming.
Through Budford, Wyoming.
30 seconds.
Because he sells this particular type of milk thing that attaches to the udders.
Oh, okay? My goodness.
Now, he hears about what's going on, or maybe he catches the end of the number, and he's like, what? Government takes half. This guy won the lottery. And he befriends Jimmy Joe.
Yeah.
Jimmy Joe makes sandwiches.
Yep.
Befriends Jimmy Joe, but he does not have the best case for Jimmy Joe.
That's the time.
We didn't get into the first act.
I'll be honest with you.
I really like that he caught the last of that number.
I do like that. These are the top. I'm going to go on to the next one.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't want to. We can't add because I want to. And here's the thing. This is a unique opportunity for the Espresso Boys because never have we ever had a professional writer on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And everything that's inside of me wants to continue this story.
Stephen King on that episode that you lost all your footage.
No, that's Stephen true. Hawking.
Oh, that's right. I heard the outtakes from that episode.
That's the one.
Or shall I say crazy?
Correct. Crazy. All right. okay. Well, this one's personal. I didn't read these. Danny's wrote them. Person.
Thank you, Danny.
Brandon Thomas Dahl - Holly. Bad boy, expressive boy. You know him well. Mm-hmm. Place here. Everyday life. Okay. Conflict. You wake up. All right. I haven't actually read this. So I'm a little worried. You wake up and your
it's
whole
just a
life.
List of what he has to do.
Yeah.
You wake up, you go and do the dishes. You go and pick up milk because
it's going to be the honeydews for this weekend. Here we go. You wake up and your whole life is set to a Broadway musical. You must sing. Oh, wait, I can't. This is personal. You must sing, dance, and work through everyday situation as they are plot twists.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, let's do it.
I got stuff.
So you got some stuff?
So go ahead and start that timer.
All right.
Mr. iPhone 10 over here. Yeah, takes an hour and a half to set a 3
it's
minute
worth
time.
It because there's no home screen. It saves me time. All right, ready?
Yeah.
2 minutes, folks.
Okay.
So we have the person who is Brandon Thomas. Oh, hey, Brandon Thomas. Yeah. It's me. The place.
Name drop.
Here. What everyday life, normal living. Conflict. You wake up and your whole life is set to a Broadway musical. You must sing, dance, and work through everyday situation as they are plot twists. So
sure.
maybe we'll say this is the what's the resolution?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Let's try to work our way there.
Okay.
Shall we? For my sake, please. For the love of God, please help me. This is a nightmare. A living nightmare. Ready?
Yeah.
And we begun.
So I think when this begins, obviously we have to show how boring and mundane and almost useless Brandon's life is and how and so we put that we really set the scene with how just awful this character is.
First
and
song
just
called,
down
what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? And then he goes to bed, and we all know Brandon gets up 4 a.m. every day. Yeah. Is that right? 4?
Yeah, unfortunately.
He gets up. Musical starts, but the birds are still asleep.
Ooh, oh, that's
I like
deep.
It. Yeah. I like it.
Birds Wait a are minute. Still asleep. The musical starts, but the birds are still asleep. That might be like a shirt somewhere. Continue.
There's no tweeting birds anywhere. No. It's a musical. It's happy, but still a little sad too.
Melancholy, if you will.
Melancholy. Yeah.
I like it. I know that at one point Brandon's ballad is not for, but at.
Explain.
Not for Google, but at. It's his ballad, so that's
slow. At some point.
Not
some
for,
point.
But at.
That's exactly what has to be.
He hates that. He's so close, but he's not there.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good. That's so true. And then, so we'll maybe walk through a day's work with me. You'll find a lot of mediocrity of just like, is this really what my job
still
is?
Has
is
no
this
idea what he's doing?
Bottom line, we find out it is a curse that has been placed upon him that forces him to sing the stuff. And it's the journey of him trying to figure out how to break the curse.
Never does.
Very, very
out of the curse.
Okay, so maybe that's how we end it with like this sort of, again, maybe that's a cliffhanger. Maybe that's the cliffhanger
kinda,
to the whole idea.
At the end, he kind of thinks, my life's already bad. What's this on top?
You know, I don't want to take it personally, but I sort of do. You know what I mean? Just because it is
just
based
no
on...
Friend.
It
he is, still has no friends.
Like, this is a story based
it's
specifically
a
on
it's
my...
It's a tragedy.
Yeah. It's like Othello.
Right. Mm-hmm. And this story is, again, based on my full name. So there's no getting away from it. So.
Oh, it could be anyone.
All right. All right.
It could be
good.
Anyone.
No, that's good. That's, I respect that.
I like it. Good work.
Yeah, that was solid. Love that. Feel encouraged. All right. Ready for this one? Person, maybe this will sting you, Caleb.
It's gotta be.
I think it'll sting you in a different kind of way. Steve-O.
Oh, no. Not Steve-O.
Familiar?
You know Steve-O.
Like
of Jackass fame.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were going to have a great interview with Steve-O, but someone butchered it.
They just never got back to my email.
Because you did not give him a very exciting introduction. Okay, that's on you.
Okay.
Person, Steve-O. Remember that.
Okay.
Place, L.A. The conflict is, again, I haven't read this. This is brand new to me. Danny did a really good job. Thank you, Samantha. Conflict. Never wanted to prank or do outlandish things.
Oh,
this actually might be a little bit more deeper than I thought
see
it could be.
And he was forced into it.
By the, again, literally, this is the first seven letters that, or words I've read. Never wanted to prank or do outlandish thing, but is stuck in this life of tricks and buffoonery.
Yeah.
Just wanted to settle down and work a normal 9-to-5.
I follow him on Instagram, and I
wife
know that's
plus
not true.
Kids. Well, this is the situation that the Broadway executives have given us.
Okay,
we have
sorry.
To do our due diligence, please.
Sorry.
So we got Steve-O living in L.A. He doesn't want to live this life of pranks and outlandish stunts.
Love it.
But is stuck in the life of tricks and buffoonery. Just wants to settle down and work a normal 9-to-5. Wife and kids, white picket fence, golden lab, etc.
Well, the antagonist for sure is Wee Man.
All right. Okay.
Obviously.
Obviously.
All right. Are we jumping in?
It was
are we jumping in?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We good?
We're good.
Start.
We already have the advantage. Wee Man and Johnny Knoxville. Oh, you think. Ready? And?
So Johnny Knoxville, you think, set up as, oh, that's the bad guy. No. Johnny
Wrong.
Knoxville's
very Black
not
Panther.
Guy.
Was that
very
intentional
Black
through
Panther.
The writing? Was that intentional with the writing? You wanted, you think it was Johnny Knoxville?
100%. Okay. Yeah, you set him up as like, this guy's forcing poor Steve-O into this life of servitude, basically. Sure. No, it's Wee Man the whole time.
Because you wouldn't expect it.
Nobody's going to expect him.
You'd almost think that's like, you almost think that maybe like, you almost think that's like lightweight, like, I don't know how to term it, not racist, but you know what I mean? Like,
Heightist,
if you will. That's probably racist in its own way. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's it's very, you know, Hoodwinked, that cartoon with the little bunny who ends up being the bad guy. Yes. Spoiler.
Yes. Spoiler.
Same thing.
Or Zootopia.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sheep. Yeah.
Zootopia.
Sheep in wolf's clothing, if you will.
Okay, we're running out of time. We've mentioned four other movies.
We got one full minute left. We got 60 full seconds.
So
what's the resolution here, folks? Because we got Steve-O doing all these bad boy tricks, and he doesn't want to be a part of that. Now we got to create that ending for him.
Well, what happens is he begins to do it, and he just falls in love with it. Falls in love with
This is the writer's perspective.
No, he doesn't fall in love with the work. He falls in love with the fans.
There it is. So he is trapped full circle.
Is it okay if we take the spin to where like it's a fall in love with the fans, but it's like a negative thing, right?
It's like the Disaster Artist.
Great. Mm.
So he loves the attention, he loves the accolades that he's getting, but he knows that they're laughing at
him.
No, they're not with him, they're laughing at him. Yeah. Yikes, guys. I think we actually just painted Steve-O's real picture.
No, he loves it. He just gave himself cauliflower ear for fun. He did.
We have 10 seconds.
I think he put a helmet on his head.
Does he get the white picket fence?
Nope.
Retirement or no.
No, he's too busy pulling staples out of his... Oh, we're out of time.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Expressive Boys podcast. Thank you to Jess Flower for being our beautiful guest on this episode.
And where can we find your books? Give us the title of the books, where we can find them, and your social media handles so that people can follow you.
Title of the books are Daisy Hill and Red Bird, and you can find them either on Amazon.com if you're so inclined to do that, or if you are close to Fairfield and you want to go into the Barnes & Noble, there are copies inside that, so that way we keep bookstores open.
That's important.
Yeah, I think so. And social media, I'm on Twitter at Jess Flower and on Instagram at Jess Flower 8, because apparently there were 7 of them. I don't know how that happened.
That is the worst kind of problem to have.
Go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TheExpressiveBoys, our Instagram and Twitter at TheExpressiveBoys as well. And Brandon, close us out with that classic saying.
You know what I always say at the end of these sort of podcasts, if you will.
Just say it. Go ahead.
I don't need to drag the point out any further. I come out and say it
every single time.
Every podcast is the same. Mm-hmm. It's something I believe in.
Uh-huh.
Let me back it up a little bit. I think that for me, it probably came from when I was in middle school.
Okay.
It's a principle that I live by. It's just something.